James chapter 3 in your Bible. James chapter 3. Oftentimes you'd be watching a movie and you say to yourself, what's this movie about? It takes a while to get into the introduction and then after a while that's what this movie is about. Well, maybe you'll be watching a movie and someone asks you, hey, what's the movie about that you're watching? You're like, I got no idea. In the middle of the book of James, we see what the book of James, the entire book is about this, and we really get the meat and God spells out what he's after in all of our lives. And it's what the book of James is about. This is what the movie of the book of James is about. And it's this: how to be a perfect Christian. How to be a fully mature Christian. How to be fully grown up in your Christian life. That's what the book of James is about. And the greatest litmus test for your life to know if you are a mature believer is here in chapter 3. If you say, I think I'm doing pretty good. Let me measure myself. Brother Steve has a door over here. He's been marking on this door ever since his grandchildren were yay high. And there's a whole bunch of marks as they grow. James chapter 3, you stand and see where you are in your Christian life based on one thing. And we'll look at that in just a moment. Let's begin chapter 3 and verse number 1. It says this: my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. He's talking about spiritual teachers in that verse. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this hour together as your body has gathered together. We thank you for the baptisms that we're able to celebrate today, and to see these steps of faith, steps of obedience. Lord, we do thank you that you are always on the move, that you are always at work. You are building your church. You are furnishing your body. Lord, all of us play a part in the body of Christ. Some of us are the hand, and some of us are the nose, and some of us are the feet. Lord, we thank you for your sovereignty, your design, and how you build your church. And we ask that you would give us wisdom as we serve you and as we gather as a body. Lord, give us wisdom this afternoon as we look at your word. I pray that you would speak to my heart and speak through me. Give me the filling of the Spirit of God for this hour. I pray that you would, that as I just preach your word to these your people this afternoon, that we would sense your presence in our midst, that we'd be changed. And Lord, I pray that you would show us where we are in our Christian walk. Give us a good litmus test of where we are. For it's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. I have a little doggy. He is hard to train. He's a miniature doxy. And they say that miniature doxies, there's kind of two arms of the miniature doxy world. There's the long-haired miniature doxies, which are mixed with Cocker Spaniel back in their ancestry. They're very docile. They're very sweet. and they're pretty easy to train. Then there's the short-haired dachshunds. Stubborn. They are hard to train. They have a mind of their own. They love to do their own thing. That's what this is. This is the long-haired dachshund. But he has the spirit of a short-haired dachshund. His mom is a short-haired dachshund. And his problems, you have problems, you usually trace back to your mom. I'm just kidding. See if you guys are with me. Oftentimes I wish, it's almost like this, it's comical, that he'll chew up something else that he shouldn't have chewed up. Generally it's my socks. First thing I do when I take my dress shoes off, he wants my dress socks, and he yanks on them and pulls them off, and he runs through the house with them, gallivants, and then he chews the holes in them, and now I have a drawer full of holy socks that I wear to church. And I wish that I could come into his mind and figure out what he's thinking, because the camera will be on me as his master, and this is what I, the master, say. I say, no, no, look, no, no, we do not chew this, no, no. And if you put the camera on the ground, and it's the dog looking up at you, the master, here's what he hears. Blah, 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 blah. They don't care, they're just going to chew whatever they want. It's hard to tame some doggies. It's hard to train them. But ask yourself this question. What's the hardest animal in the world to train? You ever thought about that? How many ever been to the circus? The circus, they've got elephants. And they're trying to do away with that, and hence they're going to do away with the circus altogether. But they're training elephants how to stand up and how to roll the ball and how to do all sorts of things. They're training giraffes to do things. They've got little dolphins that they can try to figure out what they're saying and communicate with the dolphins. And you ever ask yourself, what's the hardest animal to tame? Is it the lion? Is you got the whip and the chair and the lion tamer's up there and you're like, I hope he's ready to die. You have his will in order, because how do you know if it's really tame until that day when you smell like meat and then that's it for you? But the hardest animal to tame in the entire world, you know what it is? It's inside your mouth. All of you have it in your mouth. It's your tongue. It's the human tongue. It's the hardest thing. Matter of fact, it's the only thing that has never been tamed. The Bible says in our passage, every animal has been tamed. You go to the circus, if you go to the zoo, if you go to SeaWorld, they figured out a way to tame every animal. But there's one animal that has never been tamed by man, and it is man's own tongue. We say some crazy things with our mouth, don't we? It just pops right out. We don't have time to talk about all the things that we say, that children say the dumbest things and the silliest things. Adults say some of the silliest things. I say some of the silliest things. You know the worst thing you could ever say? Just start talking without thinking, and you'll say some of the worst things you could ever say. It's amazing how we have stored in our tongue the ability to destroy our whole life in a moment, because the tongue is out of control. It's like a fire hose. You ever seen when they turn the fire hose on, it's just like, and it's like, somebody get that, and they grab it, and it's, that's your tongue. It's just completely, and it's on full blast, and it's completely deadly. So the Bible says, if you can tame your tongue, that is how you know you are a fully mature Christian, is what it says in verse number 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word. In other words, if you've come to the place where you've tied down your tongue, you've conquered your tongue, so that you are not offending other people and offending God with your tongue. If you've gotten to that place in your life, it says, the same is a perfect man. The word perfect doesn't mean sinlessly perfect. It means fully mature. You are the same as a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. So God says, if you can capture the tongue, if you can harness your tongue, you can harness your entire body, everything else about you, your mind, your hands, your feet, everything about you, if you can somehow manage to conquer and tame your tongue. So where are you right now in your Christian life? If you were to measure yourself, scale of 1 to 10, not based on anything else except your tongue, what is the status of your tongue, your mouth, your speech? What is your speech life like tonight? And I'll just take a few moments and our time will be done. Notice the problem of your tongue. Is in verse number 1, it says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. What Peter's talking about there is anyone who is a Bible teacher, anyone who is a spiritual authority, that God says that person will be judged on an even higher scale with how they use their mouth. Why? Because they're representing God. They're telling people things that those people think God says. And now the doctrine of God is being, by false teachers anyway, it's being skewed. So they will, it says that they will receive the greater condemnation. God has a higher standard for people who purport to speak for God. And so there's a higher standard for those people. And then there's a stricter judgment for somebody. Don't say, hey, I want to be a preacher as fast as you can. And but the Bible says if you want to be a preacher, that's a good thing. But make sure God's called you to do it. Why? Because there's a greater condemnation and a stricter, harsher punishment that God holds to people who speak for Him, who are preachers. I know that every time I stand behind the pulpit. There have been times when I stand behind the pulpit, and right before I go up, Christian's like, no, make sure you don't say this. Make sure you don't say, because I don't want, you know. And preachers who get up from behind the pulpit, especially people who like to hear themselves talk and are always talking. You know what the Bible says? In the multitude of words, there lacketh not sin. If you just talk, if you just post, if you just yammer, eventually you're going to say the wrong thing. And the more you talk, the more wrong things you're going to say. Matter of fact, here's a quick quiz. You're going to talk, one-fifth of your life will be done speaking. The time that you spend on the earth, one-fifth of that you'll be talking. And every day, men speak about 18,000 to 25,000 words every day, depending on what kind of man he is. Women speak about 30,000 words a day. So sometimes, depending on who you're around, women can say twice as many words per day as men. Does that mean that women are twice as sinful as men? I don't think so. But what it does mean is that, yeah, every time you get to drag something out of a man, hey, what are you thinking? And then the ladies are like, what are you thinking? Oh, let me tell you, do you have a chair? Do you have an hour? So ladies just love to talk more. That's great, unless you don't have a harness on your tongue. And then it's like the fire hose going out of control. So how we speak is very important to God. Notice, number two, the power of your tongue. Your tongue is a very underestimated tool in your life. It has the power to destroy your entire life, or it has the power to bless your entire life. And look at verse number two. We read it already. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So your tongue is like a gateway to being able to master your entire Christian life. If you can master your tongue, you can really harness your entire Christian life. That's how powerful the tongue is. Your tongue will determine your level of spirituality, how you use your tongue. For many of us, it'll determine what people think of us. What's the first thing when I say your boss? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Probably somehow how he uses or she uses their tongue. When I say your spouse, it's the first thing that comes into your mind. Usually it's what their tongue produces. When I say your children, it says that a godly woman, her children will rise up and call her blessed. They will use their tongue to bless her. Your tongue is very important in your life. It has, number one, the power to control. It has the power to control. Your tongue has the power to control your destiny. How far you go in your life, how high you rise on your job, how you minister for the Lord will be hampered or helped by your tongue. And there's two illustrations that God gives. Horses and ships. I'll see if you're awake there. Horses. The horses. How many have ever ridden a horse? Let me see your hand. How many were petrified to ride the horse the first time? Let me see your hand. How many have ever fallen off a horse and broken something? Okay. I grew up kind of around horses, and in the summertime we'd go to Ironwood. And so horses kind of became second nature to me. I remember seeing someone give birth to a little calf, and I was like, oh no. And they're always dropping things behind them. But overall, horses are pretty cool. Horses are powerful. Horses are noble. But horses are probably the first and best domesticated animal that this world ever had. We have used horses to wage wars. We use horses to pull our crops, to do all sorts of things. We found out that horses can be tamed because what you do is you take this huge cream. No, you don't, do you? You take a tiny little bit, about this big, and you put it in the horse's mouth. God has given the horse very sensitive mouths. And if you put the mouth, and if you put the bit in there and you pull it, you know what the horse says? Ow, 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 ow. And if you pull on this side, it says, ow, 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 ow. And you can control the entire horse's body with a tiny little bit. And a huge, and they're, you know, a couple tons, some of these horses, big Goliath horses. But if you put a little bit, you can control the entire horse. The principle is your tongue is very tiny. It can control your whole life. The second one is a ship. These huge ships that you know, the Titanic and other things, very small in proportion to the ship is the rudder of the ship. And you can just turn the little rudder at the back and it directs the entire ship's course. The ship will end up in Antarctica or the ship will end up in Spain based on one thing, where you turn the little rudder. And your life will end up in Antarctica, or your life will end up in Spain, your life will end up glorifying God, or in a shipwreck based on one thing, your tiny tongue that God has put. Everybody has a tongue. Everybody has the ability. Matter of fact, the book of Proverbs says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Your tongue will determine the direction of your entire life. Don't ever underestimate your tongue. If you're a person that says, well, I'm just going to give a piece of my mind. If you hear news and you're like, I have to respond immediately. I have to do it now. I have to call them now. Be very careful. Your tongue is a very underestimated tool and it will determine the course of your whole life. It has the power to control. Secondly, the Bible has a lot to say about our tongue. If you're taking notes, you write these down. I don't want to turn to all of them. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. It says this. In the multitude of words, I quoted this a couple minutes ago. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Some of the smartest men you'll ever come across are minds. They never say anything. You're like, what is he thinking? I would rather not know what he's thinking than to know he hates me. Than to know he doesn't want to be around me. Then, you know, sometimes you're like, I wish I could. Penny for your thoughts. Oh, never mind. Because now I know what's in. And it's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And the Bible says that the words of a talebearer go deep into the innermost part of the belly. You can really cut someone to pieces with your tongue. Proverbs 12, verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. That word abomination, we take that seriously, don't we? Those, oh, this word abomination. It's like this huge gun that we pointed at this sin. That's an abomination. And this sin over here is an abomination. Don't ever want to be caught in something called an abomination. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. It means God hates them. What does God hate? Just lips that lie. We lie in subtle ways. Sometimes we lie by omission. Sometimes we lie by just adding, embellishing the truth. And then Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. We need to learn this power of the tongue, to use it in a very delicate fashion. You can make all of your enemies turn into friends. You can make all the angry people turn docile. It says, we hear the phrase, music hath charms to soothe the savage beast. And you start playing the right music and these big, brutal animals and bears, they're like, rah! And you play the right music and you're like, okay. God says that's what you can use your tongue, a soft answer, turneth away wrath. I've actually purposely tried to do this a couple times, and it always works. A soft tongue, a gentle response. It says a soft tongue breaketh the bone in another verse in Proverbs. We need to learn the power of this. If you have strife in your life, the first thing you need to try is a soft answer. But grievous words stir up anger. There are escalator words that's stupid. Okay, that's an escalator word. If your argument is like on a 2 or a 3, that's going to jump it up to a 7 just off the bat. That was dumb. What'd you do that for? Huh? And we need to learn not to use escalator words, grievous words that stir up anger. And your tongue has the power to dictate how your relationship will be. And in the same way that our tongue is powerful, here's what's so evil about our tongue. It's like Hitler. Not only is it powerful, it is perverse. Your tongue is not only powerful, it is full of poison. Look what it says in chapter 3, verse 5. Even so the tongue, and so this is number 3, the perversity of your tongue. All of your tongues, and my tongue, we don't just have a powerful tongue, we have a perverse tongue. There's a verse that David said this, Psalm 139. He said, there's not a word in my tongue, but thou knowest it altogether. And I know I'm not preaching on this per se, but how do words get in your tongue? If you have a knife and you cut your tongue open, is that what you're talking about? David said, there's not a word in my tongue. He's talking about our vocabulary. We all have a running, accumulating vocabulary. And we pick up words from everywhere. As little children, we are sponges. We have a mind that we can remember only the nastiest, dirtiest, worst words. We don't remember the happy, loving words. Kids, it's just in our human nature. We gravitate towards the worst words. That goes in my ear, goes into my heart, it's in my spirit. It's in my tongue. It's one of the bullets in my gun. And at a moment that I need it the most, I can draw that gun. There's not a word in my tongue, David said, but thou knowest it altogether. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Here's number one, the perversity of your tongue. It has the ability to boast. There's a lot of brag in your tongue. A lot of boasting. This is kind of human nature 101. 101. If you have something that somebody else doesn't have, you want to tell everybody about it. We trash talk on the basketball court. We brag about how much money we have. You show off what you have. If you've got a Bentley, you drive around town, make sure everybody sees it. We brag about things. Matter of fact, I heard a story of a frog one time. He was a long way from home, and he figured out an ingenious idea. He found a stick, and he went to two birds and said, I got an idea. You and you. You guys grab onto this stick and just fly. And I'll hold on with my mouth, and you'll fly me back home. I'm just like better than Uber. I'm going straight home. And so the birds, they start flying, and they're flying overhead. And a farmer sees this most unusual, like two birds with a stick in between them, and there's this frog holding on, it's just flying over. The farmer said, well, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. I wonder who came up with that genius idea. And the frog was like, it was mine! Sometimes we boast at just the wrong time, but we just can't keep our mouths shut how good we are, how smart we are, how strong we are, how fast we can run. The tongue loves to boast. Don't be somebody who boasts. Let another man's lips praise thee and not thine own. Learn what it is to just keep your mouth shut. If you've ever done something great, just be happy that you did it. Don't post it on Twitter that how great you are, because there's a lot of brag in our tongue. Secondly, the tongue is a blazing fire. California recently has been hit by these wildfires. And many people have been put out of their homes. Some people have even died. Once the wind catches these fires, they just spread like wildfire. The tongue, the Bible says, there's a couple of just really dangerous pictures. It's a fire. It's like a serpent full of deadly poison. It's a world of iniquity. Look what it says there in verse number 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, that's your whole spiritual being. Everything about you, from top to bottom, your tongue can totally defile you. Can just, it's like when motor oil is poured into water, the water is no good anymore. It's completely polluted. Your whole spiritual life can be polluted by your tongue. And then it says that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. It's like your tongue is not connected to the back of your throat. It's like it's connected to the fires of hell and completely fed nonstop by the evil, the fires of hell, and the destruction of the fires of hell. It's my tongue. My tongue is connected. Mr. Steve has a clock in here that is somehow connected to the Boulder master clock. And whenever they push the button, it sets itself, and it's always connected to the Navy clock. It's always right because it's always connected. Your tongue is Wi-Fi connected to hell. And hell, We don't have to learn some things about how to use our tongue in an evil way. We just kind of instinctively know it because our human, old, sinful nature is connected still to hell. And the Bible says, your tongue is, that's how destructive and how evil and how polluted our tongue is. I just thought I used it to lick the ice cream cone. Oh no, your tongue is way more dangerous than you ever think. Don't ever underestimate what you say. You know what, I'm just going to call him up and give him a piece of my mind. Remember that this is the state of your tongue. It is connected to that source of evil. It is a fountain of very evil possibilities, is your tongue. Proverbs 26 verse 20 says this, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. There's a picture of a fire, and you need to keep putting wood on it to make the fire blaze. If there's an argument, if there's strife, if there's bad blood, if there's just bad stuff going on in the family or in your friendships, all you need to do to keep it going is say something. Just say something. Put another log on the fire, and that fire will keep on burning. The media knows this oh so well. And in the political world and in the sports world, they're like, so-and-so said this about you. Do you have anything to say? And they're like, well, yeah. And then they say something, and the fire blazes. After a while, it starts to die down. And they're like, hey, they said this about you. Do you have anything to respond? And they're like, well, yeah. And if you put a microphone in everybody's face, if everybody had a Facebook account, if everybody had a reality show, a camera following you around, and we were just always talking into the microphone. By the way, don't underestimate this. That's why we watch reality shows. That's why we watch Facebook Live. That's why these things are so salacious. It's because of what people say. We want to hear people say something crazy. Don't be a person that's always saying something crazy, because your tongue will keep the fire blazing. If there's a problem in your marriage, shut your mouth. And that problem might go away. If there's a problem in your family somewhere, just you don't be the person that keeps adding the wood to the fire. All you have to do is take your tongue, tie it in a little knot, and it may help you in other ways as well. If you just keep your tongue to yourself. We wag our tongue so much, it's a fire. And then number three, our tongue is untamed and deadly. That's why it's so dangerous, is because it is loose. It has broken free from the chain, and it is pillaging the villages one by one. Your tongue has already gone down to Frankenstein's village and burned that thing down. Now it's on its way over to Hansel and Gretel's house. Before long, it's going to take away all the kingdom. Your little tongue makes its rounds. Be careful of your tongue, because it's untamed and deadly. Verse number 7, for every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. What he means here is no man in his own power, in his own strength. You by yourself will never say, you know what, I'm just going to stop saying bad words. That's it. I've decided that. Nobody can do that in their own power. You need the Spirit of God to help you. By the way, I heard somebody say it like this. Nothing that ever needs to be done in a man's soul and in your spirit can be done by you. God has to be the one to do it. Yeah, I just need to get rid of these bad thoughts. Never going to do it by yourself. You need God's help. But it says, no man has ever tamed the tongue in his own strength apart from the filling of the Spirit. And this is how we know, if you have tamed your tongue, you are filled with the Spirit. But then it says this, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. If you were to just take a, by yourself, sit down and just write things, those are going to be poisonous things in your own mind, your own spirit. Some people are a wellspring of words. They're just always able to come up with brand new thoughts and concepts. Those are deadly concepts they're coming up with. Unless we're connected to heaven, unless heaven's able to send the fire hose down and quench the fire of the tongue that is connected to hell, we are going to be very deadly people just speaking. Ephesians 4 verses 29 and 30. I hope that you have this underlined in your Bible. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Let me ask you this. If God were to say, let me cut a deal with you for 1 year, I'm going to give you $10 for every time you say something nice to somebody and you build them up. I'll give you $10. You can just keep your phone app open and you can see the money in the bank account. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. How are you doing? You look very nice today. Cha-ching. Wow, that was cool. Hey, yeah, where did you get that scarf? That's awesome. Cha-ching. And if you were to take away $5 every time you said something cutting or mean, that's what you're wearing today? That's money going down. Do you know your breath smells like a hog died last night? Every time you say something mean or cutting, $5 is deducted. But you get twice as much money every time you say something nice. At the end of 1 year, would you be rich or would you be poor? I would be rich, Pastor David. Well, don't just say it as fast as that. Because have you ever been in a line somewhere waiting? It's a long line. And you start to get this complaining spirit. I can't believe this. Who's running this place? Mickey Mouse? And you can think of stuff. So it's easy to think of put downs and complain. I'm like this. Complaints flood the front of my mind. I have to have a filter on my face so that they don't all make it out. But I can complain with the best of them. Matter of fact, I've met my wife complaining about an ice cream cone. I went to her to complain. And I can complain, are we there yet? It's hot in here. And you don't like this, or you don't like that person. God says, don't let that come out of your mouth. Did you know that God literally is doing that? It says, we will give an account for every idle word that we speak. Every word that's just thrown into the air, every word that just falls on the ground. We think, I'm just talking, I'm just shooting the breeze. You know what God said? I'm collecting every word you ever say, and we will stand before God in judgment for everything we say. That's serious, because most of the things we say are not good. They're hurtful things. They're sharp things. They're cutting things. We have to think a long time. Okay, it's Valentine's Day. And you have to write a card to your wife and say something nice about your wife. Wait, turn the TV on.
What am I going to write?
Isn't it like that to think of something nice about somebody? Now hug your brother and tell him two things you love about him. Oh, man, I can't think of anything. Now think of 10 things you don't like about so-and-so. It just comes so fast. This is how our human nature works, and it's connected to our tongue. My human nature connected to my tongue is like a flamethrower. And we take that with us to our job. And then at night we bring it in the bedroom. We do everything with this flamethrower tongue. We got to be careful to tame this tongue, or it'll set the whole world on fire. It's like going to a wild animal park, and you go out and you see all these signs. Do not touch the animals. Do not feed the animals. Do not get close to the animals. Why not? I don't want to touch the lion. We don't do that. We say, okay, is this glass plexiglass or is this real? Is this like bulletproof? We want to make sure there's a distance between us and the wild animals because we are smart and we want to keep on living. But we just get a little willy-nilly with our tongue, the wildest of all the animals. And nobody's afraid of their tongue, I don't think, the way that we need to be afraid of our tongue. So we need to be careful to tie up the wild beast, to tame the tongue, to ride the wild stallion. How do you purify your tongue? It will be done. How do you purify your tongue? It says in verse number 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. We don't think that through, do we? Oh, I would never speak disrespectfully to God. I would never speak irreverently to God. But I'll speak down to every one of His creations, created in the image of God. My mom and my dad and my boss and my teachers, I don't care. But we would never speak evil of God. We need to be careful not to have to speak with forked tongue. Because out of one mouth we speak blessing, and out of the other mouth we speak cursing. God doesn't say, well, you sure are trying. He says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Don't be doing that, God says. So look at the potential for refreshment in verse 11. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place bitter and sweet water? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a fine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Our tongue does have the ability, if we're connected to God, to give forth fresh water, to bless the Father. There is the potential in our tongue, if we're saved, if we're living with in relation to God, if we're filled with the Spirit, your tongue possesses a great ability to see people get saved, to see people's lives turn around, to speak positive words to people, to encourage people who are on the edge of giving up, people about to throw in the towel, and you talk them down from that ledge, and their life is spared, and they owe it all to you, because you used your tongue to bless them. There is a potential for our tongue. The only way it happens is we have to give our tongue over to God. We have to take a knife and spiritually cut our tongue out, do surgery, and take our tongue to God and say, God, tongue broken, tongue bad, tongue make everybody mad. Here, you take my tongue and do something with my tongue. You have to yield yourself to God. This doesn't happen accidentally. You're never going to get home and say, huh, well, you know, I blessed 4 people with my tongue today. Who knew? You have to do it on purpose. You have to give yourself over to God spiritually. This is what David did when he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. David went to God on purpose and said, God, I don't look right. I saw myself in the mirror and pleased you. God, create in me a clean heart. I need you to do something in me that will be palatable to the people around me. I need for my husband and my wife to not have their face burnt off and melted because I gave them my best with my tongue before they went off to work. And then they had a terrible day because I said something that they'll never forget. We need to give our tongue to God. Psalm 141, verse 3 and 4, we'll end with this verse, and our time will be done. David said this, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. David's asking God to be his filter. If I'm going to say something, I need to run it by God first. And God will say, yeah, that first part's good, leave out that last word. Okay, and now what I said is okay. And then it says in verse 4, incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Half of how you talk is who you hang around with. Half of how you talk is the words you hear on TV. Half of how you talk is what you read, and it goes into your spirit. It becomes part of your vocabulary. Seeing somebody tell about 10 put-down jokes, and everybody's laughing, they're like, hey, yeah, that was good, that was good. I need a pen, I need to be writing this down. These are how we collect evil things, and we use them in the most dastardly ways when we need them the most. When you're up against a wall, when you're losing an argument, when somebody's got you outsmarted and you feel like, this is the time, that's when the long knives come out. And those words that you know good and well you should never say, they just come freely out because you try to fight yourself out of the corner. This is why we need God to be the filter of our mouth. There was a woman who came forward at the end of a church service one day, and she said to the pastor, Pastor, this might sound funny, but I want to lay my tongue on the altar today. God's really spoken to me about my tongue. And the pastor said, well, madam, there's only one problem with that. Our altar is only 15 feet long. It's not long enough. Because she knew the kind of tongue that this lady had. If God got a hold of your heart and said, I want your tongue. I want you to lay your tongue on the altar. What would your response be? It's not that important. Or would you say, yeah, I got a wild beast trapped in my face. And it's going to get out and eat everybody's face off. It's a fire. It's going to melt people's face. And I can even feel the power of my own tongue taking my life down the drain. If God said, I want your tongue, before you leave, put your tongue in the box. I need to do some work on it. You can get it back tomorrow. I need to clean your tongue up. What would you say if God said that to you? I think that may be the order of the day for many Christians for one reason. Because the tongue controls your entire life. If your tongue gets out of order, if your tongue gets out of control, your whole life can go sideways. And God says, if you contain your tongue, you're a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Everything will be kind of encapsulated on what you do and who you are with your tongue. Let's pray together.